A longtime educator moving to another state after new teaching standards in Minnesota go through. Why the Central Minnesota teacher says his morals and his faith left him with little choice. Next. Carl Williams is my guest, a high school science teacher at BBE. That's Belgrade Brutin El Rosa. Carl, thank you so much for joining me. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Liz. I appreciate it as well.
I was introduced to you. I know you're a very well-respected teacher. I was hoping just to start here, you could talk about your time at BBE. I know you've been there 11 years now, but your experience as an educator, you've been around the block for a bit here. And then just what kept you coming back each and every day to that high school?
Sure, yeah. I've been at the BBE for 11 years now. Prior to that, I was 5 years in southern Iowa in a town called Sheraton. And then 5 years prior to that, I was in a private school in Missouri, in central Missouri. And so for me, the thing that kept on bringing me back was, first of all, I just love teaching, right? I have a passion for teaching and I just love my students. And so it's just like every day. This is a fresh new start for me, fresh new start for the kids. Let's just hit it as hard as we possibly can.
So it's state law that requires the Department of Education to update academic standards every 10 years and in core subjects. How close are you even following something like these updates? What is it then that actually gets your attention, Carl?
Yeah, so in truth, they're updating it constantly. And so it's like every so often they come out with updates and saying, hey, this is what's coming down the road. And so a little bit, it feels like Linus trying to kick the ball from Lucy, you know, in Charlie Brown, because it's always moving. You know, the target's always moving, the goalpost is moving, but the ball I'm trying to kick is always moving as well. And so it's really difficult to try to follow the standards and try to maintain that good balance in a classroom. If you're aware, it's a classroom can be just subject matter, or a classroom can be lots of fun, or we can develop good relationships with the kids, right? There's a tripod of action there. And I have for a long time now, most of my career, I have said, okay, I want to build a good relationship with the kids. I want to have fun. I want the kids to learn science as cool, right? You know, the dude science kind of a thing. And so it has been long my opinion that if we go solely to try to hit all the subject, the core standards, there is very little time for that exploration, for that introspective of the kids to learn something cool, you know. So I do my best to teach the kids the basics, and then we can go from there.
So when we're talking about teaching licensing, here are just a few of the mandates for teachers seeking relicensure in Minnesota: to focus on implicit bias and systemic racism. This is from a recent Alpha News article, including white privilege, to comply with the construct of multiple identity formation and fully affirm and incorporate identity politics into the school, including race, gender identity, sexual orientation, religious beliefs, economic status, and ethnicity. So again, you're a high school science teacher. Explain that. What does this mean for someone like you?
Yeah, that's really hard to hit, isn't it? I mean, that's a mouthful in and of itself. And then as a high school science teacher, I try my best to tell the kids that everything that we do has to be data driven, right? Everything that we do has to have, you know, it has to be testable and repeatable. That's like the mantra that in my classroom. And so when, like with multiple gender ideology and white privilege and stuff, if that gets brought up in my class, and it does, because the kids ask me, because I'm open with them, you know, that the data just isn't there, you know, to tell a kid, for example, the multiple gender and gender fluidity and that kind of thing. upon conception, like 3 months after conception, like for example, a girl is making eggs in the womb 3 months after conception. So to say that it was a confusion as to whether that fetus was a boy or a girl is like, it's anomalous, right? There is no data that proves that. So it is so difficult for me to stand up in front of the kids then and say, hey, yeah, it's okay. You can think that you are if you want to be a girl, you can think you're a girl. And, you know, it comes down to what do the facts say? And the facts say that it's just not happening. You know, there's just, there are oddities, right? There are rare occasions where, like, I have a friend of mine that has Turner syndrome, which is 1X. So females are XX. And so I have a friend of mine that has Turner syndrome. So she has 1X, but that's like 1 in 6,000, not the high numbers that would count for a statistical relevancy, right? Does that make any sense? So all the other stuff as well, all the other stuff is, that's a difficult one to hit because it comes out of left field as far as from a science teacher's point of view.
It sounds like, Carl, the red flags are there pretty early on with this change. Was there a final straw then that you decided, you know what, I need to look after 11 years at a high school, I need to look elsewhere?
Yeah, Liz, it was difficult. I absolutely love teaching for BBE. The school district is awesome. The kids are great. My administration is 100% supportive of the teachers, and I've felt that. So the final straw would have been about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. Our pastor had a "Hey, did you know?" pamphlet in a Bible study, and it brought up the legislation that was coming about for the new changes. And it was just a brief overview of what might be occurring. And I read that, and I read that with my wife, because, I mean, she's a great lady. And so I read that with my wife, and the things that they touched on were just stuff that separated. I said, I just can't do that. You know what I mean? I can't cover up and pretend that that's not there, because I want to be always honest and truthful with my kids, my students, right? I always want to say, hey, this is the straight line, because they trust, right? You know, we build that relationship, and so they trust. And so I don't ever want to cross that line with the kids. And I felt that this really kind of pushed over the edge.
So Education Minnesota has said that the goal here is to help students understand our shared history, help them avoid repeating our mistakes of the past. But in theory, how do you think this all pans out?
Honestly, so I don't think it pans out well. I think you could look at California as an example, because we are about what, 5-6 years behind California in the legislation, you know, in our ideology, and that's not turning out really well for them right now.
And on that note, Minnesota, we know, is struggling to even find enough teachers the way it is, nearly 5,000 alone leaving the profession in 2021, 2022. And Education Minnesota came out recently and said that 9 out of 10 districts have significant challenges filling teacher vacancies. I'm curious what you've heard from other teachers, you know, not only in your school. I know people have heard of your story elsewhere, but are others thinking of moving? You know, how do these standards affected their decision making going forward?
Yeah. So I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but last year we operated on a we should be a 3 science teacher school district, and we only had 2. So we lost one gentleman. He left for an administrative degree, and we couldn't. We had 1 applicant for the job, and so we operated with 2 where we should have had 3. So, I mean, we experienced that right away, you know, as far as the limited applicants. But as far as how it goes with, like, my other colleagues, I've had a lot of people reach out to me and tell me that they're proud of me as far as like standing up for what I believe in and my ethics and morals, but they're at a point where they own farms or they have family in the area, or they're just not there yet as far as, and a lot of them don't really believe that it is going to be where I think it's headed. You know, our conversation about, shoot, it's, you know, they're going to force every teacher to teach this, and they're going to force every teacher to espouse to it. I don't know if they're there. You know, I think a lot of teachers are still saying, oh, that's not going to happen to me, or that's not going to happen in my field.
And let's remind people that there are consequences if you do not teach this curriculum.
Yes, 100%. In the law, it says that the state of Minnesota is going to hire, I want to say, the best word I can say is watchdogs, but that's not the correct phraseology. They're going to hire watchdogs, and they are going to go out to look at different schools' curriculum and make sure, to endeavor to make sure that we are teaching that. And so it is going to come down, and it's going to come down in, like, loss of licensure or fines to the school district, and then the school district is going to have to make changes. So the pressure is going to come from top down. Going to be even me. I work at a really conservative school, and it's the pressure is going to come from outside of them to them in order to enforce it.
What kind of message does it send to a teacher then who may be more middle of the road or conservative, as you're saying, in their beliefs? And also, I know faith played a big part in your decision to leave Minnesota as well.
Yes, ma'am. So as far as my faith goes, the verse from Matthew, it's Matthew 18, says that it's better to have a millstone tied around your neck than to lead a little one astray. And so that is always on the forefront of my mind. And so I want to make sure, like I said before, I want to make sure that I'm always as truthful with the kids and telling them the truth as possible. And so, it made me really double check to see, okay, is teaching in Minnesota really what I want to do, or is this something that I can stand by and just kind of like pause for a bit? You know, I have about 12 years left before I retire. I don't know if I can push it off for 12 years. I have former students of mine that are right now in college going to be teachers, and they have come to me and said that it scares them how much, just how much in the forefront it is. All of the ideology that they just don't buy.
It is fair to say, though, you wouldn't be leaving Minnesota and starting over if not for this change.
Oh, 100%, Liz. Yeah, you are exactly right. My wife and I, we've wanted to retire from BBE. We wanted this to be the home. I have two grandkids and one on the way, and to be in the same area, to be with the same administration in the school district was our aim. You know, we go to church in the area, all this kind of stuff. And the move is a direct correlation to what the state has started to mandate.
Well, Carl Williams, I know you have a few months left to go at BBE. We certainly wish you the best of luck and good luck with the move as well. But thank you so much for telling your story. You speak for, I think, so many people.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
That will do it for this episode of Liz Collin Reports. We'll see you next time.